and it's tears going fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom. What is up, everybody? Happy Friday Eve, as I like to say. We are almost there, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Thursday, and that means I am joined by a most excellent guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics. Welcome back to The Maggie Dawn Show, Tom. Can you turn Tom on for me, Cardi?
Yes, one second.
Here we go. We'll try one more time.
Tom, you're on.
Welcome back.
Hey, Maggie, how you doing?
I'm doing just peachy keen. How are your holiday preparations going, my friend?
They are actually going well. We've already went to see some Christmas lights. We went down to Candy Cane Lane, which I think is something that everybody who lives in Milwaukee should do. Got the Christmas decorations up and not enjoying today's cold, though.
No, it is quite the cold snap. I hope everybody out there is staying warm. We have one of our very regular callers on the air already, and she has something quick that she wants to say before she has kids to get on the bus. So, of course, Cindy from Appleton, it's always great to see you, my caller. Kia, what did you have to say? And say hello to Tom, please.
Thanks, Maggie. Hi, Tom. Well, I am just really upset because I heard that Time Magazine has made the convicted rapist, the convicted felon, the man of the year this year, and I hope a lot of people dump their subscriptions to Time. Shame on them.
Cindy, I wish I could say that I planned your phone call, but I did not. Tom and I, in fact, are going to be talking about that very thing today amongst some of the other breaking news. I just before we get to that, Tom, I just want to tease out, because I've been talking about it a bunch, and I wanted to get your impressions on it. We have CNN running in the studio, and right now the Chyron is talking about how people that are so frustrated with our health industry have been calling Mr. Luigi Mangione, the man who allegedly, and based on the evidence as reported in the media to date, seems clearly to have been the man who murdered the United Healthcare CEO last week in New York City. People are calling him a hero. Tom, I wanted to get your reactions to this before we move on to the Time Magazine issue and cover. I've come out very clearly and said this man is not a hero. We do not do vigilantism. And what does this mean if the most privileged among us start taking up arms and blowing people away? I mean, this kid had everything. He had access. He had privilege. He had wealth. He was extremely highly educated. What's your take on this situation?
Well, in addition to those things, he had debilitating pain.
Yes.
And I think one of the challenges we have in this country when it comes to healthcare is there just doesn't seem to be anybody responsible to help people when they have debilitating pain. And I will agree with you, he's not a hero, but clearly he's touched a nerve.
Yes.
And I think the nerve, at least for me, is, you know, because I'm part of the, I get my health insurance through the ACA. Being an independent contractor, I'm basically at the mercy of whether we can afford enough to be able to pay for coverage, which frankly is not very good coverage with very high deductibles.
Yes.
And, you know, luckily I'm in a position where I can pay that, but I know there's a lot of people that aren't. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger issue here is coverage.
Yes.
It's what is covered and what's not covered. And I know, even though I pay the insurance company, they don't work for me.
Mm.
And I think that's an important distinction for people to understand, is even though you pay your premiums, the insurance company does not work for you. They work for themselves and they work for the profit that they make. Some are, you know, I know that a lot of healthcare businesses right now under the guise of nonprofit insurance companies are there to make money, and they do it very well. And they also know that if they deny coverage, they make more money.
Yeah, which is, it's sort of similar to me, like to nonprofit hospitals. I mean, give me a break. Yes. They're still making money. And the very
a lot of money.
A lot of money and paying really huge salaries. The very idea, and not all health insurance companies are nonprofit either. You know, so the very idea that for-profit enterprises are operating and make or break whether or not someone can access healthcare to me is, I mean, crazy. I mean, that's just, it makes no sense. Like, of course it's not working well for people because that's a stupid premise to set up a healthcare delivery system in, quote, the world's richest country, right? It just, it doesn't work for me. I've also always thought it was stupid to tie your healthcare coverage to who your employer is. Like that,
yes.
To your very point, Tom, you go through the ACA because you have to. This is not a good way to do this.
Right. And I will also say that the reason we're able to get into the ACA is because they had to drop the, you know, pre-existing condition clause that allowed insurance companies to deny people even coverage. So now they have to cover it. It doesn't have to be affordable, but at least I can get coverage. If that's dropped by the ACA, though, I will tell you right now, and my wife and I have had this discussion, I'll have to go find a job because that's the only way that I can get health insurance then. Which doesn't make any sense to me. And if you think about all the entrepreneurs out there, if they have to go back and get jobs because they can't get coverage, what does that mean for business growth in our society? And what does it mean for our economy moving forward? But I will also say that, you know, the healthcare industry itself there's collusion.
Yes.
There's no price transparency. Yeah. There's none of the idea that this is a, you know, privatized marketplace that allows you to go and seek competition. There isn't competition.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, all of the factors that an economist would point to,
yes,
for, you know, monopsony, like oligopoly, all these fancy words that economists use that basically means that customers aren't going to be served well and are ripe for exploitation. It is all true in the healthcare industry. I mean, why is it that an MRI at one joint will cost $500 and it's $2,500, you know, at a different joint five blocks down the road? Like, that is insanity. And the price fixing and the fact that you don't know how anything costs and every single one of us needs healthcare at some point in time is just,
yes,
bananas to me. So, the only silver lining from this horrific act of violence, which I condemn, we don't make the world better through violence, is that perhaps it will catalyze a conversation and is catalyzing a conversation has been needed. We've needed to have a deeper conversation about this for years. And it just brings me back to Donald Trump, right? Which is during the debate, what are you going to do about healthcare? I have concepts of a plan.
Concepts of a plan.
In his interview with Kristen Welker, I have concepts of a plan. We'll talk.
He didn't even say that. He said, if we have a better plan.
Yeah. We'll talk.
He actually said
people.
He actually said the word if we can come up, yeah, with a better plan, then we will move to that.
So all of this brings me to Time Magazine putting Donald Trump on the cover. This announced yesterday as the person of the year. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Your thoughts and comments. Welcome. I'm joined as a co-host today by Tom Paulswitz, a two-time congressional candidate, friend of mine, and a friend of yours. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I just wanted to make this clear in response to Cindy's call at the top of the hour. Time Magazine does not pick people of the year based on their goodness.
Yes.
They base their person of the year basically on impact and like newsmaking.
Newsworthiness.
Yes. And if Kamala Harris would have won the presidential election, she would be the person of the year. But yep, she didn't. And Donald Trump was at the center of almost every single news cycle. I mean, the CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
Yes. And, you know, this is the part about Donald Trump that, you know, like him or hate him, he seems to be able to garner clicks, which means that reporters and people who write stories and people that get stuff on the internet, If they put Trump in the story, they know people are going to click on it because they either love him or hate him. And that is part of the cycle, I think, that at least from 2016 to 2020, that damaged this country. And we're heading right back there, which means to me that I don't think journalists have learned their lesson. I don't think that the way we've set up, or the way we absorb news and the way we digest information has changed. In fact, it's changed for the worse.
Yes, it's worse, I would say.
Which means that I think the idea that Kellyanne Conway said about alternative facts is going to pretty much be what the next 4 years are about.
To me, this is all kind of where we've crossed over this threshold into not only like moral relativism and ethical relativism, but also there's no observable objective facts, and you can just say anything and you say it as many times as you need to until your group believes you and thinks the other people are lying. And this it's not helpful for folks that voted for Trump. It's not helpful for Kamala Harris supporters. It's not helpful for anything to be in a place where we literally cannot have conversations anymore because there's no agreed upon framework to have a conversation or a disagreement.
Exactly. It's actually driving us apart, and it's all based on perceived ideology. But like you said, when you're operating off two different sets of facts, there's no common ground. And I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm not sure what has to change. The Rupert Murdoch struggle with his family about what's going to happen to Fox News. There's a glimmer of hope there, which means maybe they don't just spread disinformation on a regular basis. I don't have a lot of hope of that, but I think something has to change.
Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate, one of the most reasonable men in politics. We're going to come right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to talk about whether or not Donald Trump will actually deliver for his voters once he's sworn into office on January 20th. Your calls and comments and texts are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is Civic Media, where we're all about real news and great conversation. Join us more in just a moment.